Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. I'm Patricia Modis, and I'm your host, a Filipino-American, native New Yorker, current California transplant, bulldog mama, and an uncommon occupational therapist myself for the past 22 years. On this podcast, you will hear me proudly feature the unique careers of occupational therapy practitioners working in non-traditional and role-emerging practice areas, settings where OT is uncommon. Be inspired as you listen to these up-close conversations and be energized and motivated to follow in these unconventional paths. Happy listening, friends. I'm very excited to introduce you to today's guest, Tarsha Long. Tarsha is an uncommon occupational therapist who specializes in soft tissue. Here in the U.S., we may more commonly know her specialty as myofascial release. Tarsha has been a practicing occupational therapist for 5 years. She is a graduate of the Edith Cowan University in Western Australia, and she is the founder of the OT Place, where she educates her clients to look after their bodies, to manage it on their own, and to prevent future injuries or flare-ups, really via taking a holistic approach to her practice. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you Tarsha Long. Welcome, Tarsha.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are so excited to hear more about your specialty too. I know I talked a little vaguely about your work because I'm really relying on you to tell us more specifically about the core of all of that. But before you do, and before we delve into all of that, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, no worries. So I am I grew up in a small country town of Western Australia called Bremer Bay, where I had a bit of an accident, which changed the course of my life very quickly. So I spent about a couple of years from when I was age of 12 to about 15 disabled. Yeah, I broke my left femur and shattered my feet and broke my pelvis. So I was in recovery, trying to recover from that, which was quite the journey, as you can imagine. And from there, I learned how to navigate moving around in a wheelchair. I had to relearn how to walk after being strapped to a bed for 6 months. Wasn't allowed to move. My legs were up in slings. And from there, I actually was able to recover with really, really, really good recovery and really good physio and really good OT. So my OT was there teaching me how to shower with a shower chair and how to navigate life with basically one working leg for a while.
Was that your first exposure to OT?
Yeah, so in the country, we don't have anything like that. We don't even have a hospital. Our closest hospital was 5-hour drive. Yeah, so we didn't even have we had a GP that came around in a van every few months.
So I'm glad you were able to get that rehabilitation and, you know, get to a place where you're at today. It's remarkable. Just your recovery, you wouldn't even think. And, you know, our listeners will learn a little bit more about your work and will probably be just as equally impressed as I am. So thanks for sharing with us a little bit about your background and, you know, your journey from, you know, really having to be in a bed, right? And really not being able to walk and, you know, participate in just typical things that a 12-year-old would, and really going through your rehabilitation, going through OT school after that. So I want to hear a little bit more about that portion. You got better, you went through rehab. What bridged the place, or what bridged that place to OT? Or to OT school and applying to OT school?
Yeah. Someone told me I'll be a good OT. And that's really all it took. So I went, okay, let's do it. And yeah, passed uni, passed high school, got accepted into OT school and worked hard until I passed. And what originally from there, I went into pediatric OT for a couple of years with a school. I learned very quickly it wasn't for me. And I went on a course to go further my knowledge. And I met someone who was in soft tissue OT or myofascial release. And I was like, oh, wow, that's it. That's my thing. I'm going to do it. And yeah, 3 years later, I have my own business. My business is actually just about to move into its very own clinic as well, which is very exciting.
I want to hear a little bit more about that too. But I want to take a step back. You said, oh, I knew it. That was it. That's it for me. What was it that made you realize that working in soft tissue was what you wanted to do?
It was, so we, in the course, we had to treat each other, and this person was showing me how they would treat and how they would look after someone with this injury. And I was like, oh, can you do that on me? And they treated me, and I was like, yeah, that's been my problem. That's where my pain is. That's my problem. And my pain was so much better. And it was, I could manage it a lot better. So I began seeing them as a client after that. And my pain's been so much better. My functional movements have been so much better. So my engagement in activities I've been able to do. So from there, I was able to, you know, go back and play soccer. I was able to go back and do CrossFit. I was able to go back and surf again. I was like, oh, my legs, like, they feel great.
Oh, that's so great. So it was through your own work within yourself that really helped you kind of realize that, you know, this is something that I can offer to others too, and it'll help them.
Yeah. I went, oh, if this is the gift that this person is giving me, imagine giving it to other people. So I was like, yep, cool.
Fantastic. So tell us more about that. Tell us about the population that you're serving now. Who do you work with? Tell us a little bit about that setting. And what are some of the needs that you're addressing?
Okay. Some of the population I work with is can be pretty much anyone from, well, really an infant, so a toddler, about 1-2 years old, all the way through to, I think my oldest client is 96 years old. And we've got anything ranging from, so with the toddlers, it's like your, the way they've been born. So all their muscles can be really tight and haven't quite relaxed since birth. So that can help with their sleep and feeding. Okay. From there, with the teenagers, it seems to be a lot of growing pains. So their bones are growing quicker than their muscles. So their muscles tighten up. So we help alleviate growing pain.
Literally growing pains. Okay.
Yeah. And then in adults, it can be anywhere from injuries. So very typically I see is, well, frozen shoulder or shoulder bursitis and lower back pain or headaches. So they're the three big ones that come in quite often. I do treat a lot of athletes and their injuries that they come in with from sport due to my own sporting background. And it's just, I do prefer my athletes. I'm not going to lie. They have a really good body awareness straight off the bat, whereas with the general population, it takes them a few months for that to build up. And then, so they can differentiate between this is just muscle soreness from walking or training or working, and this is soreness from the injury.
Can you tell us a little bit about your athletic background? Because it sounds to me that, you know, again, that's also something else that you're passionate about, and you're able to kind of blend it into the work that you're passionate about. It's like a wonderful combo.
Yeah. I have a background in track and field in high school. So I was the sprinter. I am so small, but I was fast. And then I played soccer as well. I competed at a really high level here in Australia, well, in WA.
That's incredible. And this is after your accident?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm blown away. When you get accepted into something like that after an injury like that, you don't take it for granted. You're very excited. And then from there, in my adult life, I do CrossFit, which is, I just like the challenge of seeing what else my body can do.
Well, I think that makes you the perfect physical rehabilitation professional to work with, just because of your own personal experiences with, you know, things being effective, just you really understanding, you know, one psyche at the time, right, of recovery and really the challenges and pain that one goes through, and also the post, right, the post surgery, the post recovery, the getting back into life. Like, what do we, you know, how can we contribute? So wonderful. I'm super impressed with your physical accomplishments, right? And not only that, now your entrepreneurial endeavors, that's really tapping into, you know, some of those accomplishments that you've gained over your journey.
Yeah, thank you.
So super incredible. So tell us a little bit more. I know you explained a little bit about, you know, working with toddlers, teenagers, adults, and the types of problems and issues that you'd work on with them. How does it work? Do you have a clinic where you offer these services? Do they come to you? How do people get referred to you? And how do you get paid? I know, so mouthful.
Paying is probably the most important part. Allows us to do what we want to do. So a lot of people can just, they don't need a referral. So it's, I am a private clinic, but we don't need a GP referral here to actually access me. So it's usually, a lot of my promotion has been through word of mouth, which has been phenomenal. So I've grown from like 1 to 400, which has been amazing. Phenomenal. Yeah. And then a traditional setting is they come into my clinic and they see me and we do a initial assessment. And in the initial assessment, I'm looking at everything from what's their emotional state like, what's their stress like, what's their internal environment like. So are they acidic? Are they inflamed? Mm-hmm. What is going on? So I'm looking at things like their diet, how much water are they drinking? What are they drinking? Is it coffee, alcohol, sports drinks? Mm-hmm. And then I'm also looking at, okay, well, where is your pain? Let's talk about your pain. Does it stay in the one place? Does it move? On a pain scale, so we use the verbal pain scale. What's it on that?
Mm-hmm.
And they rate it. I also use the verbal stress scale. So what's your stress out of 10? Where are you sitting today?
Okay.
Yeah, because it all plays a beautiful role. So while I am treating hands-on and looking at their pathology and their symptoms of what's going on, I am finding the longer I'm in it, the more it is actually linked to their emotions. So their emotions are hiding in their muscles. So if there's anything they haven't dealt with, that's where we delve into. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to manage your symptoms because it does help. But there's also some inner work we need to do here. And that's where I will do a lot of my mindset work of, you know, let's do some journal speak. Let's go, okay, do you need further help? Do we need to get a counselor involved? And we end up creating this really cool transdisciplinary team to help this person understand their pain.
I love it. And I think what better professional to be in this particular setting than an OT, right? Again, you have the ability to recognize how one's emotions and internal space can really affect their bodies, and how perhaps working on some of those areas might actually alleviate or assist with the physical goals that you may have with your client.
And it has this beautiful ability to transfer. So all of a sudden their family relationships are better. They're engaging back in their social activities. They can focus at work. Mm-hmm. It just has this snowball effect, and it's like, yeah, cool. It wasn't just the one thing you needed everything, but we needed to focus on one thing to fix the rest.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So I love how you kind of talked us through an assessment, right, and the different things that you would look at in addition to their physical functioning. Are there any types of specific assessment tools that you use, like maybe OT specific ones?
Not really OT specific. Only if we have to look at their workstation, then I will use my OT specific skills. It's more the OT hat and the OT clinical reasoning. So I put on my OT glasses.
Yes.
What's going on with this person?
Yes, and you are assessing with your OT lens, but just not necessarily using any standardized OT assessments to gather your information. So no less valid. Yes. And particularly in your line of work, because there's also, I guess, your style, right? There's just a variety of approaches here. I know that your focus is on soft tissue, but then there's also a very holistic sense in your practice. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and maybe, talk us through a typical session that you might have with someone? Would it be for an hour? And what would you typically do?
It depends on the client. So I gauge it on their day, but most of the time my clients book in for 20 minutes. It's amazing how you can make 20 minutes feel like an hour.
Yes.
And not make them feel rushed. I'll go through a bit of what I've seen this week in particular, because I think this week's been really interesting. So a few of my sessions this week, they've all been 20 minutes. I've looked at things from scar management, because pain was actually coming from a scar. And we looked at lymphatic as well for this particular person. And so I've shown them how to use scar management. I've shown how they can use essential oils to actually help with the management of a scar. So there's specific essential oils that will help, as long as you've diluted it properly, which I do that for them, so they don't need to worry about it. And then I recommend things like your homeopathic. So here in Australia, we're able to prescribe homeopathic supplements.
Mm-hmm.
So I've prescribed a Lymphosot, which is a lymphatic stimulation supplement to help with her lymphatic flow, just due to the trauma from the surgery that this person had had. The lymphatic system became quite stuck, and that was causing all her joints to become really angry and inflamed, and then the scar just was adhering to all the organs below. So we needed to calm it down, because it was becoming keloid. So we needed to calm it down and then allow the system to flush so that it could heal. So that was one session.
Okay. All in 20 minutes. Wow.
It was just educating on how to do it and showing their partner how to do the massage so that the partner could do it. So there was there's just a bit of family involvement going on, and then understanding why we needed to do the lymphatic stuff as well.
Okay.
And so that's one type of session. Another good session I have a beautiful table, and my clients would lay down on it, and I treat along their spine first. So this is just my traditional myofascial release. So I treat along the spine, not on it, along either side.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps with the nerve flow. So we're making sure that the nerves are talking properly to the rest of the body.
Yes.
So making sure that it's not using more energy than is required, and also calming down the central nervous system, which is a flow-on effect for the injury, because if we can calm the nervous system down, we can stop that feedback loop from reoccurring, and then they can start healing, because we're out of that fight, flight, freak out zone. We're back into our rest, digest zone.
Yes, got it.
And then I'll go to where their injury. So if they've got like an ankle injury, I will treat the ankle, and I'll do a lot of lymphatic flow through the lymphatic massage through there as well, and some nerve stimulation. And then I treat the calf. I treat the front of the shin bone. Mm-hmm. I treat the quads, and I treat the hamstrings and up into the glutes. Because if it's your ankle, it's changed the way that you've walked. So your gait has been altered. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not treating up into there, it's going to be a bit of a chicken and the egg. So is now the hip going to cause the ankle to keep reoccurring, or is the ankle going to keep causing the hip? So I've got to look after both.
Yes, got it. So again, this session all in 20 minutes as well.
Yes.
Wow. So how many 20-minute sessions do you have on a given day?
14.
That's a full day.
Yeah, you should have seen me yesterday afternoon. I was asleep by 8.
Wow. And I hope you take breaks in between.
Yes. It takes lots of food. Got to eat a lot.
Yes. For energy, right?
Yeah.
But that's great. So I love the examples that you've given us. You've really given us a great glimpse at what it might be like in a session with you. You said that people refer themselves, mm-hmm. word of mouth, which is excellent, right? I'm hearing that a lot from OT entrepreneurs that I speak to. It's a lot of referrals within their communities. So I say that again, just so that our listeners can hear and sort of say or think that, you know, working your communities and working networking in your small towns really is effective. Mm. It really does. It's great promotion. And at least just from what I've been hearing from my guests.
Yeah.
And other OT entrepreneurs that I've been speaking with. So great. Thank you again for those examples. How about charges, rates? Do you accept insurance, or what would be, I know you said private pay was one way that you charged.
Yeah. So there's a few different ways. We have a really good medical system over here in Australia. And so the medical system, if they go through a GP, they can get a medical plan. It's a very small one. It's only about 5 sessions, but they will cover for the initial, it covers half. And then for a standard, it covers about 75%, which is really good. Yeah. And I can go case by case and determine whether mm-hmm. I'm going to charge the gap fee for the person or not. Depends how much they need the care. And then you've got my private clients, which are not referred from their GP, and they can use their private health. So,
okay.
And that covers about 50% of the session as well, which is beautiful. So,
yes, it is. Do you find, do you find that you have a steady stream of clients, even if they did have to pay 50% of the cost out of pocket?
Yeah. Yeah. And the hardest part is promoting my business, because it's mm-hmm. uncommon. It's an uncommon area. They don't know about it. But
yes,
once they know, it grows from there very, very quickly.
Well, it sounds like you're very busy.
Up and down.
It goes up and down.
It goes up and down.
Will you be in a position where you feel like you may be able to hire other OTs to join you in your practice? Or is that
that's the
plan?
Goal. Yes.
That's the grand goal. Plan.
One day I want to be a mom, so I'd love to be able to support other people, grow into that, and then I can take a step back.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think that sounds like a very realistic plan.
Thank you.
Do you have any career advice for any OTs out there who are interested in getting into soft tissue work, myofascial release, and, you know, really, I don't know, I call it more like hands-on body work?
Mm. Oh, any advice?
How can they get started?
Oh, okay, so in Australia, I don't know what it's like over in other states, but here we've got so there's 3 different ways you can get into it. There's a couple of people who do it face-to-face. So there's one in Perth, and then there's one that travels around Australia, and she delivers a 2-day course, which is really good.
Okay.
But I've also just written a course, and it's going to have its first intake on the 10th of January, which will be online. So anyone in the world can access it, and she gets to study alongside me.
Okay, so there you go. That's an excellent way for our listeners to get started, is to really be in touch with you and to take your online course, right?
Yeah.
You said it's starting on January 10th?
Yes, January 10th. And you get me in your pocket, basically. So
nice. Okay. Well, we're going to include in our show notes how folks are able to access your course during that time period and anytime after. I'm sure it will be available, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great. Before we wrap things up, are there any common myths or misconceptions about the uncommon work that you do that you'd like to call out today?
Yeah, there is. So we get very much boxed into, well, placed in a box with OT, don't we? You go into hospital, you go into mental health, you go into pediatrics, or you go into aged care. And anything outside of that is kind of a little bit frowned upon. I don't know what it's like in other places, but here in Australia it is. And I just say, follow your passion. You can make anything OT. You can, honestly, you can make anything OT. I've met so many amazing OTs that teach meditation, and that is their sole core. Like, that is the core of their business. I've got OTs that teach hypnotherapy, NLP, EFT. Just honestly, follow your passions. You can make anything OT. It's all about wearing the lens. That is our, that's our gift. Our gift is our lens. We look at the world so differently. And I find a lot of OTs are in the human design or in the Enneagram, we're sevens, or we are manifesting generators. We are the original entrepreneurs.
Trailblazers.
Well, we are. We see a path and we're like, hey, I can mold these two and make something beautiful. And that's really how OT was made in the first place. So we are honoring that legacy by continuing to do that.
I completely agree. That path, that, and from the business lens, you're sort of looking at the niche, right? Who are these people that you're serving? From an OT, more clinical perspective, you're looking at the need, right? The need of this particular population. So it sounds like you found a need within the setting, and you being an OT just makes you a better person to address the needs of your clients.
There's a reason we're all OTs. There's a reason everyone became an OT, and we just got to keep going with that.
I love it. So thank you so much for sharing your path, where you are currently. Is there anything else about your business that you'd like to share with our listeners or your OT endeavors? I know we're all doing so many different things.
Well, we are. See, this is why we're OTs. We don't just have one area. We have many passions. So I'm about to open up my very own clinic. It has 6 rooms where I'll be taking on students that will get to come and work with me in my clinic. So one day when the world opens, I'm hoping that people will get to come and I can meet new people. But the best thing about it is, like, my biggest vision is I want to create an allied health hub where people can access not just, you know, OT, but we've got naturopaths, we've got mindset coaches, we've got health coaches, we've got a whole different holistic side to health, which will bring it all together for that one person. And then I want to build a bus, and I want to take that out to the Indigenous communities in Australia who can't access it due to location. So that's my big dream.
Oh, I love that. I want to be a part of that dream, if that's okay. Absolutely. I love the idea of taking your services to places where just don't have access to it. So you have to bring it to the people.
It's what we do. We're OTs. We're amazing.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tarsha, for sharing your time with us. How do our listeners find you? How do we follow you? How do we stay in touch if we have any questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram via at the OT place, or from my other account, which is at Tarsha J, the unorthodox OT. Otherwise, there we have our website as well, which is www.theotplace.com.au, and we post a lot of the goings on through there as well.
Wonderful. And I'll have all of that listed on our show notes too.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Patricia. This has been fun. Thank you for letting me share what soft tissue OT is.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for sharing your expertise. I personally have some questions, pain-related questions, after we log off. officially. I'm really fascinated. And yeah, thanks for sharing your journey, your personal journey, your professional journey, and really where you're blending all of that and then sharing it with the rest of the world. And sounds like you're doing some amazing things there in Australia.
Thank you.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of Uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, Uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.